This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Cody Tapp from Cody and Gold. We'll talk a little Royals baseball. The Royals have lost four games in a row. They now find themselves under 500. Yesterday, Shohei Ohtani hit, I mean, you can't really hit a baseball much harder than he did, 470 feet. We'll catch up with Cody Tapp coming up in just a little bit and talk some Royals baseball. This next person that we're going to talk about, his life just intrigues me. Have you ever seen an idea and then you think to yourself, why did I not think of this? Like, the idea is just so simple, and now you see it in the real world and it's executed in such a way that you're like, I could have thought of that. Like, Uber is not a wild concept, but it's obviously really successful. Amazon has now got to the point where you assume it's going to be cheaper than anywhere that you could go to. And now with some things, you can still get it that same day or tomorrow with Amazon Prime. The whole story of Amazon is just very intriguing to me. So I am a firm believer that Jeff Bezos has completed life. Like, some of you that play video games, you'll get this analogy. You know how you buy a video game and you'll get 100% completion? You would do everything the video game tells you that you can do. And then you'll have to buy an add-on to the game or the DLC in order to unlock the rest of the game. Because it's just boring at that point. Like, you've mastered the game. Jeff Bezos has mastered the game of life. And now he's determined, I don't want anything to do with you peons. I'm going to space.
Jeff Bezos is going to space. The Amazon founder announced today he and his brother will ride the first crewed space flight from his rocket company Blue Origin on July 20th. NBC News senior media reporter Dylan Byers joins us now. So, Dylan, I guess we could probably file this in the why not folder.
Yeah, sure. Look, if you're Jeff Bezos, what else is left? This is I think this is the next frontier for humanity, and I think Jeff Bezos thinks it's the next frontier for him, and so he's going to launch himself into space in the company of five other people, one of whom he announced will be his best friend, who is his brother.
Rob, do you know how much Jeff Bezos is worth? Like, if we played the Price is Right game in which you couldn't go over on Jeff Bezos, he is worth $204.6 billion. Now, I know money ain't everything, but money certainly makes life a whole lot easier. Jeff Bezos has won the game of life. He has reached the point in the game where there's nothing else he can do here on Earth, and that's not my interest anymore. I don't have any interest here with the rest of you peons here on Earth. I'm leaving, and I'm going to conquer a new mission. I'm ready to do something else. I'm going to space. M-A-R-S, Mars. That's where I'm going. Who else do we think has reached this level where they have completed the game of Earth and now they're ready for Earth's sequel? Because Jeff Bezos is certainly there. Like, I don't know what else you can do. The only other thing left for Jeff Bezos to do on Earth is to own a team. Like, that's it. You're worth $200 billion. You got to own the Mariners or something. Like, come on now. Like, you're sitting around all your other rich friends and Robert Kraft is laughing at you because he owns the Patriots and you don't own the Patriots. That's the only thing left for Jeff Bezos to accomplish in life. There's nothing else he can do. So now he's like, you know what? I'm going to start a new civilization from scratch. I'm going to space. Who else do we think has maximized the game of life where there's nothing else they can do here? They got to go to space now.
I think there are four people who have mastered life. First off, I think this group of four I'm about to announce doesn't talk to the Robert Krafts of the world. They look at the Robert Krafts of the world the way Robert Kraft looked at us. This is a different group. This is not wealthy. This is comical wealth. This is monocle and dive into Scrooge McDuck's pool wealth.
This is like Jeff Bezos is so rich that he probably looks at Clark Hunt as being broke.
100% does.
Like, he definitely looks at you like, you're a broke boy. Stay away from me.
Clark Hunt begs to hang out with him the way we beg to hang out with Clark Hunt. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's nuts.
He doesn't let him in his luxury box. He's like, no, Clark, you don't make the money.
Because Clark's probably worth what? Like $9 billion?
I'll say closer to three. Maybe 1 to 3 is probably Clark's range.
I think he's probably a little bit more because I would say the Chiefs are probably worth a little bit more than $1 billion. Like, if the Royals are worth $1 billion, how much is the NFL team worth? Like, so let's say the Chiefs are probably worth like what, $2.2 billion? So you factor in some other stuff. Clark's probably, but you got a long way to go to catch up with Jeff Bezos' wealth.
I'm Googling Clark Hunt now. Internet's a rocket in this place today. When I have that information, I'll give it to you. Here are the four people I think have mastered Earth. Oh, Clark Hunt's net worth as of 2021 is approximately just over $2 billion.
Okay.
I mean, he's got a long way to go.
He's got a long way to go.
Got to make some investments, Clark. Here are the four people. Obviously, I agree on Bezos, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Bill Gates. That's the group that looks at the Robert Krafts of the world and says they're broke. They don't come into our special club. They've all mastered Earth.
Are we throwing Mark Zuckerberg in this list of people that have mastered Earth?
I think he's the newest member. I don't know if he's firmly inducted yet, but he's in this grouping, yes.
I would be a little bit hesitant of saying that Mark Zuckerberg has mastered Earth is because there are people that don't like him. Like, when you think about like all these super wealthy people, and there's definitely people that don't like Jeff Bezos, no one has an issue with Warren Buffett. Like, I don't even know what your issue is with Warren Buffett. Maybe there's something that I just don't know in his past that he's done before, but Warren Buffett is the one super rich guy that all of us are like, ah, he's cool. I got no issues with him. We certainly don't feel that way about Bezos and Amazon. Mm-hmm. We definitely don't feel that way about Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook.
Everyone hates Elon Musk.
I don't know enough about him to hate him. He just seems weird to me. Like, I don't know enough about Elon Musk to be like, I don't like him because of X, Y, and Z. I don't know what that is. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I just don't know what it is. He just seems super weird. From the stuff that I've seen about Elon, he just seems weird.
That's the reason to hate the man.
Though, Warren Buffett is like the everyman rich person. He's like the everyman rich person.
I think it's because Warren Buffett lives his life like he's not a wealthy person. Like, we've heard stories where it's like he gets the same breakfast every morning. It's like an Egg McMuffin and a coffee. And like, he lives a very frugal life considering he's a millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire, whatever the number. And that makes us feel like, you know, he's an all shucks guy. He doesn't flaunt it in our face like Elon. Elon named his kid Hieroglyphics. No one knows what happened there. He's a weirdo.
He's just an absolute weirdo. No, you're right. He's absolutely a weirdo. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Cody Tapp. We'll talk a little bit of Royals baseball with our Royals guy, Cody Tapp. He'll be on the show coming up in a little bit. Yesterday, Bobby Witt Jr. found himself in a little bit of a controversy.
Pitch home. Witt swings, sends it high in the air and deep to left field. Martinez turning and looking. It is gone! A two-homer game for Bobby Witt Jr. He sends the first pitch out of the ballpark, and it's 6-3 Naturals. Witt hit a three-homer game on May 30th against San Antonio, and he has his second in three at-bats as we play here in the fifth inning. My goodness, this kid is legit. 11 home runs this season for Bobby Witt Jr. A solo home run starts the fifth, and it's now six combined home runs between these two teams as we play here in the fifth inning. That thing was crushed. 430 feet, 102 miles an hour off the bat. And hang on a second, what just happened? I was looking down at my scorebook and it looked like they just called Nick Prado out. I missed it. And Thorman, the manager, is furious for the Naturals.
So if you haven't seen the play, Bobby Witt Jr. hit a rocket home run yesterday, 430 feet. he's then coming around and they're alleging that he didn't cross the plate. It was a very weird slow motion sequence in which we had to debate it. I thought he touched the plate, but that's neither here nor there. I don't really care if he touched the plate or not. The power is there for Bobby Witt Jr. The last 2 weeks, he has been on an absolute tear. You and I have talked about how Witt needs to show that he has sort of leveled up out of Double A. That you gotta play so well down in Double A, and then they'll naturally transition and move you up to Triple A. The power seems to be there. The strikeout rate isn't maybe exactly where people want to see it at, but if we're talking about you're hitting for power, you're doing certain things at a really high level, he's showing that right now in Double A. He seems to be locked in. I know stats don't work this way, but if you take away the first 2 weeks of minor league baseball, which we all know this year was a very quirky year given it just started in the middle of the spring, he's been fantastic. He's hitting 280 the last 3 weeks. He's hitting for power these last couple of weeks. He's playing with a lot of the swagger and energy that you would expect to see from one of the top 10 prospects in baseball. We'll talk to Cody about it. He's been tracking Bobby Witt Jr. down. He's actually seen Bobby Witt Jr. down in Northwest Arkansas. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
For the first time ever, Garth Brooks will be performing at Arrowhead Stadium, the number one selling solo artist in U.S. history and 7-time CMA Entertainer of the Year. We'll play at Arrowhead Event Stage on Saturday, August 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. Tickets will be available online or on the Ticketmaster app on mobile devices. There are no advanced box office sales and no general ticket sales at the GEH Field at Arrowhead Stadium ticket office in advance of the show. We will actually be giving away Garth Brooks tickets tomorrow on this radio station. Tomorrow is 6:10. So tomorrow I will be hosting with Alex Gold in the morning. Fesco and Bank are going to be hosting from 10 to 2. And during this time slot will be Cody Tapp and Josh Klingler. Speaking of Cody and Kling, let's go to the phone lines right now and catch up with one of them. Cody Tapp joins us on the show today. Cody, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I get to sleep in tonight. What do you mean? West Coast baseball plus afternoon show? That's pretty sweet.
I have no clue when I should go to sleep. And I don't really know what time I need to wake up. Like, I have my routine down quite packed. I've had it set for a very long time. Now I have to wake up tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the morning and come up here to talk to 7 people at 6 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't sound very ideal for me.
I feel like 3's early. I feel like it's a 3:30, 3:45 alarm situation. A snooze or two, hop in the shower, go to work. Or are you going to do a post-show shower situation? Since you'll be off at 10. That gets kind of tempting to shave the, I don't know, however long it takes to take a shower, 10 minutes off of your morning if you're looking to save a little bit of time. Afternoon's easy. My kids will still wake up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning or 6:30, depending on the day. So I'll be, you know, no matter what, they're still up, I'm still up. I'll just go into work later.
I have just determined from 6 until about 7:30. I'm talking about the NBA because I don't think anybody is up during that time. Like, I don't know a single person that's up at 6:15 in the morning that is, like, really anxious for my hot Chiefs opinion in the middle of June. So I've just determined for the first 90 minutes of the show, as I'm still kind of waking up, I'm just going to talk Paul George the whole time.
why Paul George? There's a lot of choices. I don't know why you'd lean into that one. But it's also, I mean, someone must be up, right? What's Billy Coons going to do? He's going to leave him hanging? He just waiting for some Royals take, and you're going to stick him with Paul George information?
I mean, I would tell him that he needs to tune in on Friday. That's what I would tell Billy to do. You need to come back on Friday whenever Fesco is back, and then you'll get your normal programming. What did you make of this whole Bobby Witt Jr. thing yesterday? This seems like a whole lot of nothing, but there ain't a whole lot going on today, so we had to make it a thing. I thought he touched home plate.
I think it's fairly obvious he touched, right? Look, there's another angle that's been out there that at least calls into question if he touched it. But if my man Patrick Mahomes says he touched home plate and Bobby Witt Jr., he has nothing to lie about. It's not like that actually being a home run is going to get him to the big leagues faster. I mean, J.J. Piccolo, Dayton Moore, those guys all saw him hit the ball 430 feet, whether or not he touched home plate or not. So I think he touched. I'm confused. How did that much dirt get on there if he's going to wipe the plate off? And my take, honestly, is, as an umpire, Carrington, this is the problem that umpires have with ego. Just don't care. The ball went over the fence. It's a home run. Even if the other team, because there's no replay, even if the other team's like, yo, I don't think he touched home plate. You'd be like, nah, it's fine. He touched it. I don't care. Like, come on, man. He hit a home run off you. He didn't touch home plate. Didn't touch home plate. I don't care. Umpires are incapable of that.
No, I'm in the exact same way. I don't think it really means anything towards his development. You're right. We did see the ball go over the fence. I just thought it was a very weird controversy that my entire timeline just went up yesterday. And I'm like, well, number one, it just doesn't really matter. Like, he hit a home run yesterday. More than anything, I've just been really encouraged by the power really showing up. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but that was to be expected given his age, experience, and how quirky this minor league season has gone. But the last 2 weeks or so, you're seeing the true power potential, I think, from Witt Jr.
Well, it's a little over that time, right? He's hit 10 home runs in about 101 plate appearances, like 92 at-bats. You got to remember, in a big league season, if you played 162 games, Carrington hit near the top of the order, you'd have 600 at-bats. So that's a 60 home run pace over the last month? Yeah, I think that'll work. I think originally when he came up, I don't think I realized the power he had either, and I had asked around a little bit. And while this is not the consensus opinion by any means, there are people who think Bobby Witt Jr. has that, like, 40 home run power, not the 25 home run power. And I think you probably are a pretty good witness of that the last month or so. Because the rest of that stuff, you know, power you can't teach, right? Not really. I mean, you can learn to hit a few home runs, but the rest of it seems to be coming around, too. He's not striking out as much. He's walking. I mean, it's not just the power. I feel like I'm encouraged by all of it.
Right now we're talking to Cody Tapp, talking a little bit of Royals baseball. Are you in the same place that I am with the Royals? I just think this is what they are. They're going to be an up and down, hot and cold, yes and no kind of team. And I don't think that's bad for this season. It's a huge improvement over where they've been the last 3 years. I think they're going to win between 79 and 83 games this year. So they've certainly started to trend in the right direction. I just don't know if this team is maybe good enough to ever really get hot, to really put themselves in the playoff picture. They don't do any one thing, I would say, at an incredibly high level. Offensively, defensively, pitching, bullpen. They just aren't great at one thing. So it's hard for me to think that they can win the 88 games or more that's necessary to really compete for a playoff spot.
Bullpen's the only place they have to be elite at. And they're not elite there right now. They got four really good shutdown arms that you'd feel really confident about. But those guys have been, like, mix and matched and hurt some. Like, Zimmer's missed time and Stamont's missed time. And so it doesn't all line itself up that way. But no, they're like a 500 team, which is a massive improvement, I might add. Their last full season, they won less than 60 games. Last year, they would have been pacing for the low 70s if they played a 162-game season. And that required them getting really hot at the end of a 60-game season in order to do it. So I'm okay with it. You know why they're inconsistent, right? They've got three starters in their rotation now. Coar's made one career start. Brady Singer, as much as we just think of him as like the, hey, heady veteran guy, he's made 24. That's it. 24 career big league starts. And Chris Bubich has made 15. So it's just not, you know, when your starting pitching has that level of inexperience, there's going to be some bumps. And I think that that's a lot what we're seeing. The offense has been the way more frustrating part because they aren't consistent at all. And they're established full of veterans.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You mentioned the offense, and certainly they have their issues. But to me, the holes in the lineup are maybe the more concerning, where this year you've got nothing, I would say, from three offensive contributors that you were counting on. Adalberto Mondesi, just based on not being there, has given you nothing so far this season. Jorge Soler's been bad this season and also playing every day. And Hunter Dozier, just everything that can go wrong has gone wrong with him, that this offense isn't good enough on the high end to carry how bad the back end has been.
What's weird about it is, and that's absolutely right, what's weird about it is they're 16th in Major League Baseball in runs scored, considering runs per game, considering all of those things you just mentioned, Carrington. I don't know if you knew this, but last year they finished in the bottom five. The year before that, an offense, they finished in the bottom five. The year before that, they also finished in the bottom five. So somehow, despite the fact they have three black holes in their offense, like you mentioned, they're a top half offensive team in baseball? So, like, that's why I'm, like, kind of encouraged. Like, next year, whoever is Jorge Soler, because it ain't going to be him, is going to have a better offensive year than Jorge Soler has had this year. Dozier can't have a worse offensive year next year than he's had this year. And then you and I can take our best guesses on Mondesi or what the hell happens there. But at least Bobby Wood Jr. would be in the mix in that scenario. So they're going to be a better offensive team next year, even if they don't add anybody, just by sheer law of averages. Because Benintendi is hitting career averages, not above his head. Witt's a little below average. Nobody's doing something where you're like, wow, look at this incredible run he's on, other than maybe Salvador Perez, and he's been doing that for like a 2.5-year stretch now.
Cody, if I set the over-under on Royals All-Stars at 1.5, would you take the over or the under?
Now, Sal's a lock. God, I mean, then I got to count on a bullpen guy. And the only time bullpen guys get in is when your team stinks and you get one single All-Star. Royals had a lot of years where, you know, like, maybe the Royals All-Star this year will be Mike McDougal.
He made it back in 03.
I know.
He made it.
Well, and, you know, Ken Harvey around that time was the only guy to both make an All-Star game and be sent down to the minors in the same year. So bleak times. I think I'd take the over, but I don't feel good about it. Because the other question is, like, who's the other guy? Nobody has the regular name recognition. So I'm really just banking on, like, Witt or one of the bullpen arms.
Cody, do you think maybe one of baseball's biggest problems is sort of highlighted in Shohei Ohtani? Because I'm just trying to think, if football had a player like him, if the NBA had a player like him, or college football or basketball, it would be everywhere. Like, you remember when Trae Young was at Oklahoma? I mean, ESPN would do Trae Watch when it came to certain games. Like, they were certainly building up a future star. I don't know if you could hit a ball harder or farther than Shohei Ohtani. Why he's not the most popular player in baseball with everything he can do is somewhat mind-blowing to me.
You know, this is – he is followed. People do these whole big things. Like, when he was supposed to pitch in Kansas City this last, you know, a couple of years ago, he ended up getting bumped. I got tickets specifically – to go watch Shohei Ohtani play. And I'm a Royals fan, so, you know, I made that decision knowing, or at least thinking, he was going to start. He didn't, but, you know, I at least got to see him, I guess, play in the field. The problem is not that people aren't interested in his talent, because he's all over for the most part. SportsCenter shows highlights of him in the ball 470 feet, like last night, and they talk about it, and they send a lot of extra people to follow him. But their stars, now Shohei Ohtani and on the same team Mike Trout, not for the limelight. You need a showy superstar. Like you mentioned Trae Young or any of those other NBA guys you might remember, like Steph Curry, LeBron, and then going through the NFL and stuff. Those guys do that and then do it with swagger. It'd be better for baseball if, like, Acuña Jr., who's also kind of a shy kid, but, you know, like the right guy with the right attitude. Like, it was good for baseball when Tim Anderson was doing incredible things and then showboating everybody. They need that kind of star. The problem is the homegrown star versus Shohei Ohtani, who they get to see do these incredible things, but not hear from him, you know, being that big gregarious character or being a villain. Those are the things sports love.
That is my guy, Cody Tapp, joining us on the show today. You'll be able to hear Cody Tapp for 4 hours tomorrow during this time slot. Someone just texted in, Cody, please don't talk about the NBA. I'm really looking forward to you being on the show. Talk about the Chiefs. So I'm here to tell you have 4 hours of OTAs coming up for you. I'm sure you can't ready to break down Byron Pringle and how much he's going to help this offense in September.
Boy, people love Byron Pringle.
They
just
do.
Just a quick one before I get out of here. It ain't Brian. It ain't Byron Pringle. That ain't the answer.
That is our guy, Cody Tapp. Thanks, Cody.
Thanks.
That's Cody Tapp joining us. I want to talk about what Cody said there at the end, because I think of Shohei Ohtani. He is by far and away the most unique athlete in a sport that we all care about. Why is he not a bigger deal? And what he said about Tim Anderson, do we think baseball wants more players like Tim Anderson? We'll talk about that next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
It is time for the Dash for Cash. Your code word this hour in the National Cash Contest is Melody. M-E-L-O-D-Y, Melody. Text the word Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y, to 72881. And you could be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Your next chance to win is coming up in exactly 1 hour. For complete rules and listings, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL. One more time for those of you hard of hearing. Melody. M-E-L-O-D-Y, Melody. Text that to 72881. Good luck to you as you try to be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Cody said something at the end of our conversation that kind of sparked my mind a little bit, because we have this conversation about baseball and what it can do to better market players and grow the game. They are playing one of those players right now in Shohei Ohtani. He is one of the most unique athletes we have ever had the ability to watch. We're talking about somebody who has 17 home runs this season and is hitting 260 with a 350 on base percentage, and also is one of the top pitchers in baseball. Like, we have not seen a talent like Shohei Ohtani. He's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. I understand he plays on the left coast, but we're talking about plays in a major market. It should be a major deal about Shohei Ohtani. I don't really feel like it is a major deal with him. He's having by far and away his best season. He's been relatively healthy this year, so he's going to play more games. People got the ability to go out to the ballpark and see him. I mean, we should be talking about one of the most talked about players in sports, and I don't really feel like that's the case with him. Cody, huge baseball fan. What can the sport do to make somebody like Shohei Ohtani a bigger deal?
They're stars. Now Shohei Ohtani and on the same team, Mike Trout. Not for the limelight. You need a showy superstar. Like you mentioned Trae Young or any of those other NBA guys you might remember, like Steph Curry, LeBron, and then going through the NFL and stuff. Those guys do that and then do it with swagger. It'd be better for baseball if, like, Acuna Jr., who's also kind of a shy kid, but, you know, like the right guy with the right attitude. Like, it was good for baseball when Tim Anderson was doing incredible things and then showboating everybody. They need that kind of star. The problem is the homegrown star versus Shohei Ohtani, who they get to see do these incredible things, but not hear from him, you know, being that big gregarious character or being a villain. Those are the things sports love.
Maybe this is me trying to compare it to something else, and these comparisons fall really flat. First off, I keep hearing baseball wants and needs these kind of players. Someone on the text line that says baseball needs somebody who has a little bit of swag and also some trash talking. Every time someone does that in baseball, it then becomes a problem in baseball. Like, every time Fernando Tatis does something that I would think is really cool and that baseball should celebrate, the people inside baseball tell me it's wrong. Last year, remember Tim Anderson, or a couple years ago, back in 2019, when Tim Anderson was very over the top and doing things that you would think are what baseball wants to see more of. I think it was quickly shot down. That's not the game that we want. So I do think that baseball gives a little bit of a mixed message, because they tell you, well, we need more personality, and their stars don't seem to have it. Mike Trout can be whatever he wants to be. If Mike Trout doesn't want to be front and center and doing everything, that's his choice. If Ronald Acuna doesn't want to do those things, that's obviously his choice. But the sport would be bigger if those players had personality, if they were more personable, if they were willing to interact and engage with fans and the media more. So if we want that from those guys, we can't then put down the guys or belittle the guys that, to me, play right into what baseball wants. And maybe this is where my comparison will fall flat. Like, I think about the NBA right now and the globalization of the game. And I would say this is the full, this is the complete 180, 360, whatever the term is, of the dream team. If you want to think about how the NBA has changed the most over the last 20 years, it is not just three-point shooting. The last three NBA MVPs are non-American-born, did not go to college in America players. Giannis is not super personality guy. Nikola Jokic is not super personality guy. Luka Doncic, not super personality guy. But we would still deem them to be stars in the game and people that I think the game has done a really good job marketing and can push it forward. I understand the NBA is very different in those regards, but I don't think that every single superstar has to be the out in front, most charismatic individual. We see it happen in the NBA countless numbers of time. Think about the series that you and I both watched yesterday, Rob. I assume you watched Jazz and Clippers yesterday. The Clippers star Kawhi Leonard has the personality of a potato. He is the most least interesting human being I've ever seen in my entire life. On the Jazz, who's their star? Donovan Mitchell? He's not this out in front of the camera, super celebrity type guy that the sport can grow. That I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about baseball and I'm thinking about Shohei Ohtani. If Shohei Ohtani played any other sport, he would be in your face 24/7. Hell, it'd be better if he played golf or tennis than played baseball. Imagine if there was a male tennis player, the equivalent of Shohei Ohtani. Would we not hear from him all the time? We've talked more about Naomi Osaka over the last 5-6 months than we talked about Shohei Ohtani. Now, she obviously deserves her love too, but if I think of the sports that Americans watch and care about, baseball's pretty high up on the list. It's America's pastime. No one denies that Americans watch and follow baseball, but then when we think of the translation to their stars in comparison to that, it would be better if Shohei Ohtani played literally any other sport in this country other than the one he does in terms of popularity and being a star. He would be, if he played college basketball, if there was a college basketball player that was as unique as Shohei Ohtani is, you would get tired of him because ESPN and Fox Sports would never stop talking about him. Imagine if there was a player that could shoot equally with both hands. Like, imagine there was like a Steph Curry-like prospect right now on Kansas that could fire it from 40 with his left and his right hand. He would be on ESPN every single day. You could never get away from him. We've got a guy in Shohei Ohtani who might hit 40 home runs and have an ERA under 3.5. How is that player not everywhere in American sports and the biggest deal? Ichiro was bigger when he was here than Shohei is. It's odd to me how he's not more of a star.
You mentioned that baseball needs, I think it was you and Cody both mentioned, baseball needs a flashy star, and it got me thinking about something. Because when we were kids, who was the most popular baseball player in America? Ken Griffey Jr. He was everything. And it wasn't just the sweet left-handed stroke. I mean, it's just me. But it was the flash, it was the pizzazz, it was the smile, it was the fact he went to BP with a backwards hat on. That was cool. That was different. He wasn't just the establishment. I don't think baseball has that guy right now, and you're right. Every time baseball gets that guy, baseball hates that guy. Because how many times have you seen something like that happen, and you tweet out, oh, or I've tweeted out, oh, this is a cool moment in baseball. How fun. And then there's someone in your mentions being like, why isn't he respecting the game? Bat flips were never allowed in my day. Keep your helmet on. Don't high-five outside the dugout. And it seems like the old heads that love to, quote, respect the game drown out any fun new superstar. The only time I can remember the fun new superstar drowned out the old heads was Griffey, but that was coming off an era where baseball was nothing and a strike, and they had to embrace Griffey or their sport would have died. Now the old heads run it, and it's horrible for everyone.
Yeah, someone says Shohei is from a culture where they respect the game now and don't do any pressure off base here. I'm arguing that in the NBA, we can think of equivalents, and those guys are bigger stars. Do any of you know what Luka Doncic sounds like? Can you think of an interview that he's done? The only time you hear from Luka Doncic is after the games. Like, you know, after the game is over, they then put the headset on him. Is he in movies? Is he doing podcasts and commercials that I'm just missing? Like, I would say there's a lot of super popular players that aren't always in front of the press that are way bigger stars than Shohei Ohtani. And he plays in a major market. That's the part to me that's like really, really odd. That he plays in a really big market and just, it's like, eh, okay. Maybe it's that he plays with another star that kind of soaks up all the like gravitational pull and the stardom that's on that team. But I mean, we're talking about a player who is hitting 260, a 350 on base percentage, is slugging 600. He has 17 home runs on the season. He also can steal bases. He doesn't really strike out a whole lot. Like the strikeout numbers aren't ridiculous. He's a great pitcher. Like he should be the biggest star in the sport. Like it really shouldn't even be that. He has a 2.76 ERA this year. He's a 2.76 ERA. He should be everywhere. He should be on the cover of magazines. You shouldn't be able to go on Twitter and not hear about him. He should be on Wheaties boxes. Shohei Ohtani should be everywhere in sports. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So earlier today, speaking of somebody who is still everywhere, even though he's not playing, Peyton Manning, he is going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is also going to go into the Denver Broncos Hall of Fame. He is inducted as the 35th member of the team's Ring of Honor. He led the Broncos to 4 AFC West titles, 2 AFC championship games. They won a Super Bowl during his 4 years in Denver. I think most people would consider Peyton Manning to be a Kansas City villain, a guy who played on the opposition, a guy who broke your heart multiple times in the playoffs, and a guy you wanted to beat. Rob, who are some other players that we would throw in this villain category?
So I have built a toss-up of Chiefs fans villains. I want you to tell me which of these people is the bigger villain to Chiefs fans. We're going to start with one that hits close to home for Chiefs fans. Who's the bigger villain, Elvis Gerback or Lynn Elliott?
I got to go Lynn Elliott. I got to go Lynn Elliott for this reason. Just from as many times as I've talked to Neil Smith and the couple times that Lynn Elliott comes up, he still dislikes Lynn Elliott. Like, still to this day, feels like Lynn Elliott took a ring off his finger. Nobody brings up Gerbach in a missed field goal situation or in a bad quarterback situation. Lynn Elliott is still a big name. Let Harrison Butker miss a big kick this season. Who's the first person that's going to come to your mind? Lynn Elliott. That's not what happened if something happens at the quarterback situation. So, yeah, I got to go Lynn Elliott here. That was probably the best Chiefs team of the 90s.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I will stop with the friendly fire villains, and I'll actually pick opponents now. I was just
curious.
Who do
you think it is between those two?
I think it's Lynn, but, like, I've talked to some guys who played with Gerbach, and they didn't like him. The team didn't like him. The fans never embraced him. And he had an speaking of a guy who we talked about arrogance, he had an arrogance, but he played like Alex Smith, but he had the arrogance of Tom Brady. So there was a lot of disliking with Elvis Gerbach. He doesn't have that seminal moment where you're like, oh, that was horrible.
Marty got a lot of things right, but picking Gerbach over Gannon is like inexcusable.
I mean, Marty outside of quarterback got everything right, but he just missed the one thing over and over and over again, right? I mean, Joe Montana at 1,000 years old wasn't the right answer. It was just the best available.
It always amazes me how these guys have like the greatest football minds that we've ever seen, yet can miss like the most obvious things. Like, you and I are both kids and realize like, yeah, this quarterback's better than the other quarterback. Maybe you should play him. It's not like it was close. It wasn't close between the two.
That one, and maybe this, on the sidebar real quick. Do you remember in 06 when all year Trent Green had been hurt and Damon Heward led the team to the playoffs, and for the first time all season since the injury, Trent Green started in the playoff game at Indianapolis? I still don't understand why Herm Edwards did that. Trent Green's more talented, but Damon Heward went 11-5, or I guess, yeah, he went 11-4 because Trent lost the game and went to the playoffs, and then the minute they go to the wild card game, they're like, yeah, you're benched. And Trent Green stunk in that playoff game. I'll never forget that either.
I'm assuming, hello, you play to win the game.
Playing the best quarterback wouldn't have tried to win the game. I digress. Back to our biggest villains in Chiefs history for the fans. A Denver Bronco quarterback toss-up here. Who's the bigger villain for Chiefs fans? Is it the aforementioned Peyton Manning, or is it John Elway?
I think Elway is still the biggest villain now. Like, I think if you ask Chiefs fans right now, who currently involved in the NFL do you hate the most? I still think Elway's the number one answer. Rivers is gone. Brady's in the NFC, so you'd only see him in the Super Bowl. I still think Elway's the number one answer. The hatred for Elway's next level. I don't think that there is maybe as much hatred for Peyton Manning. You certainly don't like him because he's the quarterback of the Broncos, but it seems much more respectful. Like, hey, Peyton's cool. He just plays on the other team, so we hate him. I don't think that's the way that Chiefs fans feel about John Elway. I think it is a true and genuine hatred towards John Elway. So I'm going to go Elway. I think Elway's the number one answer in any toss-up that you can create.
This next one's interesting to me because when I give you names, one should clearly be above the rest. But one, the other name Chiefs fans really, really hate, and I kind of don't understand it. Who's the bigger villain, Philip Rivers or Tom Brady?
I don't even understand what Philip Rivers has done for anybody to hate him.
But I agree. But talk about Philip Rivers in the text line. Oh, I hate Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers sucks. I hate that guy. I don't understand it, but it exists.
I love Philip Rivers. I'm a big Philip Rivers fan. Sure, he pouts and whines and complains a little bit too much for my liking. But how can you dislike a guy who doesn't curse? A guy who, after throwing an interception, says fiddlesticks and dagnabbit. I like Phillip Rivers. I'm not letting Phillip Rivers ride here when it comes to the villain. I got to throw Tom Brady in there. Brady has proven to be the only real rival to Patrick Mahomes. None of these other quarterbacks that we really throw in the conversation are rivals to Patrick Mahomes. Brady is. Beat him in an AFC championship game. Also beat him in the Super Bowl. That's a rival. To me, rivalries in pro sports are based on two people fighting and competing for the same thing. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are not fighting for the same thing. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are fighting for the same thing, and Brady just seems to win a little bit more frequently than your quarterback does.
Isn't Brady the only quarterback with a winning record against Mahomes? He's 3-2, right? The two playoff wins and one regular season win?
I don't know if you count quarterbacks who played him one time, like Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson's 1-0 against him. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Jacoby Brissett, for example, who's 1-0 against them. But if we're talking who has multiple starts, I do think that Brady's the only one.
I guess it's just me. I don't consider Jacoby Brissett's one game, but you're right. Those 1-0s did happen.
Jared Goff. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm just going to keep naming people.
Yeah, you're going to name all the 1-0 quarterbacks.
Yeah, all the guys that are 1-0.
And only prove my point. I don't count those.
Okay, I got you. My bad. I apologize.
You actually prove my point. Our last one. Our bigger villains for Chiefs fans. I'm interested in your answer on this one. These are both skill position players. Is it Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell or Broncos tight end Shannon Sharp?
Oh, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell.
Him coming over made him turn on him?
Yo, what happened to Le'Veon Bell? Is he still around? Is Le'Veon Bell on an NFL team? Is he still trying to play in the NFL?
I mean, I think he's a free agent. I haven't heard from that man in a long time.
You want to talk about the life comes at you fast Olympics. That's Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was the best running back in the NFL. What, 3 seasons ago? 4 seasons ago? Now he's out of the league. Yo, where is Le'Veon Bell? I'm serious. Le'Veon Bell's not even 30 yet.
No, he's young.
Like, we always talk about how 30 is sort of that, all right, it's over once you're running back in the league. I mean, Le'Veon Bell missed the 2018 season. So in 2017, Le'Veon Bell carried the ball 321 times for 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. He was 25 years old, and at that point, I think he was the best running back in the NFL, certainly in the conversation to be best running back in the league. He is now 29 years old and out of the league.
By the way, we have heard from Le'Veon Bell. In May of this year, he tweeted the following. I'll find somewhere when I'm ready. Ain't no more finessing me with lies and stuff just to get me to sign with they team. No more rush decisions on my end, period.
Okay.
You might want to make a decision, Le'Veon.
Le'Veon.
No need to rush. It's June.
Le'Veon, buddy, come on now. I'm here for you, but come on now. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, since he left the Pittsburgh Steelers, so this is since leaving the Steelers, he is averaging 3.4 yards per carry and with 5 touchdowns. Nobody is waiting on your decision, LB. Nobody is waiting on your decision. I promise you. Nobody is doing that.
You're not going to finesse him with lies like, hey, we'll give you a shot.
I mean, I'm telling you, he is the life comes at you fast all-star. He held out in 2018 for more money. He came back to sign with the Jets. Since the holdout, he is averaging 3.4 yards per carry is what he is averaging. This is in 26 games. In 26 games, he has less than 1,200 yards, Le'Veon Bell. It's over. So I don't know what Le'Veon Bell's up to. I hope he's having a fantastic day. I hope he had a great lunch. Maybe took a nap earlier today. Maybe got a workout in earlier today. Maybe went in the studio and recorded a rap hit. Maybe he's on the Migos album. Patrick Mahomes, he has a song on the Migos album. Maybe Le'Veon Bell's on the Migos album. But Le'Veon Bell went from best running back in the league at 25 years old to potentially out of the league at 29. Life comes at you fast. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.